GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Nervin Kildareman, but it's gone to John Murphy. Look who's coming forward, Horst Lawler. He can wrap it up into Lemore. Horst goes for the shot. It's a off on Twitter. They wrote them off everywhere. 2:14 to 1:10. This is Carlo's day. I hope we're enjoying this one.
Yeah, KCLR commentary there of Carlo's win over Kildare in the Leinster Football Championship over the course of the weekend. And the Carlo manager, Turlough O'Brien, joins us on the line now. I'm sure it's not the first time you've listened back to that this week, Turlough.
No, we've had it. We've heard it quite a bit now the last couple of days. Sure, it's a great record of a famous moment, and a lot of people around the world have heard it now at this stage, and Carlovians, and sure brings a tingle on your spine when you hear it, you know.
The sun is up, obviously. People are enjoying themselves around the country. It's early days in the championship, but I mean, your team have been one of the stories of it so far. It must have been a nice few days for you, I'm assuming.
Oh, yes. You know, obviously, we set out there with the first game against Louth, and it was a great win for us, you know, and they were Division 2 side coming out to Division 3, and Kildare were next up, like, and I suppose in the eyes of media pundits, at least, we were complete underdogs in that case, you know. But we didn't see that with ourselves, quite honest with you. And we were quite confident that we could, if we played to our full potential, we could beat Kildare.
Did you play on that? I mean, we heard the clip there, Brendan Hennessy, talking about how everybody had written you off. Is that something you can use to try and motivate the troops a little bit?
Not really, no, to be honest with you. Look, we really were focused on our own performance and getting our own game right. Like, we've done a hell of a lot of work on how we play, and each member of the panel there can slot in and slot out of that team. And, you know, we were very polished in how we played the game, and we felt that we showed, you know, last year against Dublin and Monaghan that we would be able to mix it with teams from Division 1 if we got the opportunity. And at some stage we felt we would take a scalp, and Monaghan were lucky to get out of Dartcourt Park last year. So we had no reason to fear Kildare, and we felt with a lot of confidence in our own ability now at this stage. You know, our team is, you know, it's quite experienced, but it's also sprinkled with some very, very talented footballers. And I don't think we get credit for that at all. Like, everybody thinks, talks about it being, you know, a shock and Division 4 team and Division 1 team, but when you look at the quality of players we have, like, as well as the shock is that we were in Division 4 for so long.
Yeah, will you talk to us a bit about that? Owen Shane was down at the game for us over the weekend, and he's been raving about what great quality football it was to look at. And I don't know if you read Mike Quirk's piece in the Examiner today, but he's been...
I did.
Yeah, yeah. So he's, I mean, essentially making the point that you haven't got enough credit for the job that you've done, that the traditional media are focused too much on the negative of it. So go on, you're not feeling that you're getting enough positive coverage for this?
No, I'm not saying that we're not getting enough positive coverage, but I'm just saying that maybe the focus of the media is misplaced. I haven't heard too many yet, you know, analyse the Carlo football team and look through the quality of the players that we have on the squad, you know. I mean, in terms of physique alone, I mean, we're probably one of the biggest teams in the country. They're very, very, very highly well-conditioned. Very experienced. There's about 10 of that team there for about 10 years, and yet they're young men. And young men, I suppose, with, you know, a fierce drive to finally achieve something. You know, they've been through very dark days, and their football ability really hasn't been, I suppose, seen on the big scale, big stage by the rest of the country, you know. So there's no doubt about it, like, that you have outstanding footballers there. Like, quite a few lads have played at this stage with Leinster and so on, and you know, some exceptional footballers, and I think the organisation, Stevie's brought to the team then, has really, I suppose, got the best out of them in the last 15 months or so.
Yeah, we might talk about Stephen in a minute. You just in terms of the attractiveness of the team that you mentioned there, is it fair enough to say that, I mean, I'm exaggerating here to make my point, but hopefully you get the idea that there's sort of elements of the Jim McGuinness, Donegal thing there that maybe over the previous 12 months you were working a bit more on the defence, you wanted to get that right, and ultimately now it's a little bit more about the attacking side of things.
Well, look, you know, I suppose all things, all good things, all successful things are based on good defence first and foremost. If you're conceding scores, you go nowhere. And look at the, you know, in Carroll's National Football League stats over the years would show you that they wouldn't concede in huge score lines, and you know, obviously going nowhere as a result. So when we came in, that was one of the things we tried to sort out, was the scores were conceding. So we've been working very hard in our defending for a long time, and Steve's come into the picture as well, and he'll give the same opinion. You've got to get your defence right. All great teams are founded on good defence. And when you're hard to beat, first of all, then you have some chance of winning the game. And that's I suppose, where we started from. That was the base point, really. And we recognised that, you know, to go further in the championship, we would obviously need to add, you know, an attacking element of our game, and we need to develop our attacking play and maximise, you know, our playing talent that we have. And so we, I suppose, we tweaked our game plan slightly, and we're now, I suppose, this year we scored 270 and 214 in the two rounds of the championship.
So I know you're you have a session, I think, this evening. I presume sort of any planned target practice is off the agenda after the weekend. 16 shots and no wides.
Look, I wouldn't read too much into that. You know, look, it was one of those days where everyone writes for us. That doesn't happen too often for any team. And look, it's an unusual statistic that we didn't kick a wide. But I'm not putting that down to we're the best forward line in the country. You know, it was just as I say.
Were you surprised by it?
Combination things. We did emphasise, you know, the importance of, you know, efficiency in attacking, and we wouldn't waste any opportunities that we have. But having said that, you know, we had a few shots that went over the bar, and another day they could have easily dropped short or gone wide.
Like, were you surprised by it, or are you seeing? I mean, maybe not to that extent, but are you seeing that kind of efficiency in training?
Well, yeah, we work a lot on it. You know, we do work an awful lot on it, and you know, we would be very critical of ourselves in that regard. Like, we've been working very, very hard on that, and it would have been, I suppose, it's one of the hallmarks of, you know, successful teams. Their scoring ratios, you know, and we've known for quite a long time. Like, you know, we wouldn't be near the level of the top teams in that regard. You know, so it is what we've been working on, and you're always trying to improve on it. But like, it's that's the hardest part of the game, probably, is converting your scoring chances. And you know, you see the best of teams and the best of players making poor shot selection choices, and you know, fluffing chances when they look simple from the stand. You know, but no, it was very pleasing last weekend that we converted them all. Like, but the next day, we have to realise that that's not going to happen every day. Like, and that's why defending again is so important. And because you're not going to get that freedom that we got. We got a lot of space in the second half too. That really suited us. Of course, the best thing we're going to have is a bit of space to shoot in.
So, what do you do in that regard then in training this year? This evening, is it? What sort of thing?
Tonight is really only recovery, because there's an awful lot of sore bodies. That was a very, very physical game on Sunday. Really physical game, a lot of heavy hits there, and really trying to get back together now and get a bit of rehab done and a bit of loosening out, and we'll really, suppose, really start back from next Thursday night, really back at full training, you know.
Yeah, some of the top line stuff here, Turlock, it's, you know, two championship wins last year that we spoke to you about at the time, first promotion this year in 33 years, which is incredible, and with a game to spare as well. You've beaten Louth, you've beaten Kildare, both by decent enough margins. What are you putting it down to? I mean, you're there a few years now. Is it the culmination of a bunch of talented players, or is this solely at the door of yourself and Stephen Poacher?
Oh, cheers. No, it's not. No. Look, you have to give credit to players, really, at the end of the day. I mean, players have gone out there performing, and, you know, I think there's too much made about managers and coaches, really. Obviously, you're part of it, like, but it's really, the credit has to go to the players. Like, and we try and put the pieces together that they need to perform to their maximum. And, you know, the fact that, as I say, with 10 of them are there for 10 years means that they're guys that are, you know, they're experienced, they're well-conditioned. Then I suppose we put, I suppose, a few other strings to the bow there in the last while with, I suppose, we're more tactically aware now, and we have a very, very, I suppose, well-polished game plan, and we have a game plan that suits our players, and all the pieces of the chicks are kind of there at the moment for us to perform to our maximum potential, I suppose, really, you know. Where that's going to take us, we don't know, but it's taken us to the semi-final so far, and it's a game that's winnable for us, as it is for Leash. It's a 50-50 contest, really and truly. I mean, we played them twice this year, and really, there was nothing in either game, and we would have felt maybe we could have won both games. So we'll be going in there as confident as Leash will be, and I think it'll be a cracker of a game. If we win that, we're in Leinster final.
Yeah.
And, that would be a fantastic achievement.
You speak about the players being more tactically aware, like, and you say it so flippantly almost, that, you know, an acceptance that that just happens. There's a lot of teams around the country in a lot of different sports trying to achieve just that with probably less success. So what's the secret to getting that across?
Now, but what I'm just saying really is that, you know, there's too much emphasis made on managers and coaches. I mean, the players are the ones actually executing everything, and these players are very experienced, and they have a lot of input to this themselves. But certainly, Stephen's arrival has been, you know, a real catalyst for us. He comes from an Ireland coaching background, and as you know, football in Ulster is very tactical, and in some respects, you know, Carlow certainly, maybe the other Leinster counties would be naive tactically, and I think if you go to Ulster Championship games, you know what I mean. Like it's really like games of chess. Really. These guys are so well prepared, and Stevie's brought that to us, and the lads have bought into it. They've relished it, really. You know what I mean? It's brought a new lease of life to players who are there 10 years, and they're now preparing on the same level as top teams from all over the country.
And how do you get them to understand that stuff? In terms of the tactical approach, because you've spoken about it on the show before, and Stephen has spoken about it as well, about the idea of sort of creating a game plan and getting people to understand that and then moving forward with it. But like, practically, what are you doing to get people to understand that?
Well you've got to get players to understand what they're trying to do first of all before you get to the field, and they've got to understand the requirements of the position they're playing. They've got to understand the requirements of the game. And when we go to the field, you know, 95-99% of our training is based on game situations. And we're training it non-stop, all the time. So it's becoming, I suppose, inculcated into their muscle memory nearly at this stage that they know what they have to do.
Repetition.
We're creating game situations of training all the time.
Yeah.
We're playing a lot of small games, which we develop out then into large, you know, 15-a-side games, and we work non-stop, night after night, on our own game.
Mm. And so that's like repeating the game plan, so again, the muscle memory just sort of kicks in.
Yeah, correct. And trying to think about, you know, how the opposition is going to play against you as well, like, and how they're going to do the contract, what you're trying to do. So,
That was the next question I was going to ask. So, like, different teams dictate different things, and you've already mentioned, and I know you've heard it get over before either yourselves or Leash get there, but, you know, Dublin are a very different prospect to most other teams in the country. So how equipped are you to tweak the game plan depending on the opposition?
I'll tell you what, no, we'll get over Leash first, then we'll talk about that one.
even in the Leash context, because a lot of what you're saying there is fascinating in terms of the almost the naivety of some of the other teams, particularly in Leinster. And to be fair, it's a very reasonable point that I don't think many could argue with. But even in terms of the difference then from a Leash to a Kildare, is it, I presume it's not an utter overhaul over the next week or two, that it's a tweak on the system?
No, it's not, but I suppose it's interesting that when you compare Leash and Kildare, and we played both of them recently, I would say that Leash are certainly better set up tactically than Kildare, in my opinion. I think they have worked out exactly how they want to play the game, they're able to execute it, and they would have done their homework on Carlow, you know, quite well, and a very, very in-depth knowledge of our own game, and I suppose, you know, they got the upper hand in Croke Park, and fair play to them for that, you know. But I do think that certainly Leash are definitely, it's funny, the two of us are Division 4 teams, or we're Division 4 teams, we would both be quite tactically aware, I would say. It's interesting, it's going to be a really, really interesting game, because it's the team that has learned the most in the last game, and is going to win the next game.
Yeah, and one of you are going to end up in a Leinster final. So
yes.
Look, at it, I mean, it speaks a lot to the quality that's there. Maybe certainly beneath Dublin across the Leinster Championship, and it gets derided maybe unfairly at times as well for all of that.
I think so. Yeah. Now, look, I think the Leinster Championship is very good, apart from the fact that Dublin are so far ahead of everybody else, and that has created a problem in its own right, because a lot of counties are. I said to beat before they go out. You know, they're thinking ahead and saying, what's the point, not going to beat Dublin? You know, and I think that's a very defeatist attitude. And it has, I think it has affected, it's held back counties in the last 10 years or so. And I think the counties that are making a move now are probably the lower ranked counties. And the big counties like Clare and Meath, I suppose they've had the rise up maybe this weekend. They both won out a championship. And you would say that they have greater playing resources. And certainly, you know, I mean, our neighbours Kildare would be, we would consider our club champs to be very, very strong. They would have a lot more high quality teams to pick from, and they have class footballers as well, you know. But maybe something wasn't there last Sunday, but certainly you would expect, though, that Meath and Kildare would be Dublin's biggest rivals because of their population, strength and depth and so on. But I think the Carlos and Lufford and Leashes now are beginning to, I suppose, shake the standings in Leinster. And it's interesting to see that Carlow, Leash and Longford are three of the city finals this year.
Yeah, all right, Tarlick. We'll look at a few. No matter who gets there, either yourselves or Leash, if it is Dublin you're playing in the final, you'll have 31 counties behind you, obviously. Well done so far, and long may I continue. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, William. See you then. Bye-bye.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.